Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at a pretty foundational piece of legislation, the Public Finance Management Act. That's Act Number 1 of 1999.
Mm-hmm. It actually came into effect on 1 April 2000.
Right. And this thing, it's not just some dry accounting rules, is it? It really sets the stage for how public money gets managed nationally and provincially.
Exactly. And our mission today, really, is to quickly get to the heart of its purpose. If you look at the long title, and Section 2 is key here, it boils down to two main things.
Okay.
Making sure all the money coming in, the money going out, assets, liabilities, that they're all managed efficiently and effectively. That's crucial.
Efficiency and effectiveness. Got it.
And the second big pillar, securing transparency and accountability and how all that happens. It basically formalized the rule book for government finance.
Okay, so let's unpack that structure a bit. It operates on those two levels, national treasuries in Chapter 2, provincial treasuries in Chapter 3. And it applies pretty broadly, right? We're talking departments, obviously, but also those constitutional bodies in Schedule 1, like the public protector, auditor general.
The independent ones.
And then the public entities, Schedules 2 and 3. That includes the big state-owned companies everyone talks about.
Absolutely. That's where a lot of the public focus often lands. But what's really interesting, I think, is how the Act defines failure. It's very specific.
How so?
It gives us actual legal terms for when things go wrong with spending. It's not vague. Take fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Okay, what's that?
It's defined as spending, you know, made completely in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Spending that could have and should have been avoided if reasonable care was taken. Think money just gone.
Okay, pointless spending. What else?
Then there's irregular expenditure. This one's about process. It's spending that happens in conflict with any law. Could be the PFMA itself, treasury rules, procurement laws.
So not following the proper steps, essentially.
Exactly. Skipping the checks and balances.
Yeah.
And the third one is unauthorized expenditure.
That sounds straightforward.
It generally is. Two main ways. Either you spent more than your department or entity was budgeted for simple overspending.
Right.
Or you spent the money on something different from the specific purpose that Parliament or the legislature approved it for, using funds for the wrong thing.
Gotcha. So those three terms, fruitless and wasteful, irregular and unauthorized, they're like the official vocabulary for financial mismanagement in the public sector.
Precisely. They give a clear language for accountability.
Okay, so if we have these definitions of failure, the big question becomes, who carries the can? Who's responsible?
And this is where the Act gets really direct. It assigns personal responsibility very clearly.
So
for a government department, it's the accounting officer. That's typically the director general or the head of department.
The top official.
Yes. And for a public entity, like one of those state-owned enterprises, it's the accounting authority. That might be the board of directors or sometimes the CEO directly.
So the buck really stops with a specific person or body.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Section 38 lays out what they must do. It's quite extensive. They have to maintain effective, efficient, and transparent systems.
Systems for what?
For financial management, for risk management, internal controls, and critically, they have to implement a proper procurement system.
Oh, procurement. That's always a big one.
And the Act specifies it must be fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective. All five.
Wow. Okay. That's a tall order.
It is. And maybe most importantly, Section 38 says they must take effective and appropriate steps to prevent those three types of spending we just defined. Unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful. Prevention is key.
So it's not just about cleaning up messes. It's about stopping them before they happen. That puts a huge weight on that accounting officer or authority.
A massive weight.
So what if they don't? What if they fail in these duties? Especially, you know, if it seems deliberate or really negligent.
Well, that takes us to Chapter 10 of the Act. Financial misconduct. It covers officials, accounting officers, accounting authorities.
And what does misconduct look like under the Act?
It includes willfully or negligently failing to comply with those core duties we just talked about under Section 38 or Sections 39, 40, 50, 51, 55, which detail other responsibilities.
Oh.
Or permitting things like irregular expenditure to happen.
Okay, and the consequences. Are they serious?
They can be very serious. Mm-hmm. Section 86 is the one to look at here. It states that if an accounting officer or authority willfully or with gross negligence fails in those core duties, it's not just misconduct. It's an offense.
It's an actual criminal offense.
Yes. And the potential penalty is quite stark, a fine or imprisonment for up to 5 years.
5 years. Okay. That definitely sends a message. It's not just an administrative issue. There are potentially severe personal consequences.
Exactly. It underlines that this isn't theoretical accountability. It has teeth.
So pulling this all together,
yeah.
What's the big picture for, you know, for someone listening to this?
I think it shows the PFMA isn't just, well, red tape. It's a comprehensive legal framework trying to embed good financial practice right across national and provincial government.
And the goal is fundamentally sound management of public funds.
Right. And perhaps the key takeaway, especially for you listening, is this. When you see those definitions of financial failure and you know about the potential 5-year jail sentence, you realize that the success or failure of public finance management, according to this act, really comes down to the actions, the diligence, the competence, the honesty of one identifiable individual, the accounting officer or the accounting authority.
That really changes how you might look at a news report about misspending, doesn't it? Knowing there's a specific person designated as responsible who could face serious consequences.
It certainly puts a very human face on accountability. How does knowing that specific person is potentially on the line shift your perspective the next time you read about budget issues? Something to think about.